It's been 46 years since a boy named Max first tamed the wild things by staring into their yellow eyes, without blinking once. The wild things are even wilder in the new movie version of Maurice Sendak's classic kids' book, but they still look pretty much the same. Now, back in 1986, Maurice Sendak told Terry Gross on Fresh Air about what inspired his drawings for Where the Wild Things Are. Take a listen.
I didn't want them to be traditional monsters, like griffins and gorillas and such like. I wanted them to be very, very personal. They had to come out of my own particular life. And I remember it took a very long time until that gestation occurred and where they began to appear on drawing paper and they began to be what I liked. And it was only when I had them all that I realized they were all my Jewish relatives. They were all the adults who treated us in such silly fashions when we were kids. And these were the real monsters of my childhood. You know, people come on Sunday and wait to get fed, uncles and aunts, and they all say the same dumb thing. Or you're beating time till food gets put on the table, how big you are and how fat you got, and you look so good we can eat you up. In fact, we knew they would because my mother was the slowest cooker in Brooklyn, so if she didn't hurry up, they would eat us up. So the only entertainment was watching their bloodshot eyes and how bad their teeth were. You know, children are monstrously cruel about physical defects. You know, the hair curling out of the nose and the weird mole on the side of the head. And so you would glue in on that and then you'd talk about it with your brother and sister later. And they became the wild things.
That's author Maurice Sendak on Fresh Air in 1986. Now, other than the look of the wild things, the movie doesn't resemble the book very much. But that doesn't bother our critic Bob Mondello one bit.
Max, played by a wide-eyed cherub named Max Records, makes his first appearance on a total tear, trashing his house, hurling snowballs at some older kids, throwing a fit when they cave in his igloo. For the first 20 minutes, the camera catches him in the act of being a really unruly kid. He even bites his mom when she doesn't give him enough attention, then realizes he's gone too far, and bolts out the door to a place where things are just as wild as he is. Big, furry things, roaring and smashing up their home in a forest. Fearless, he roars in and smashes too. Maurice Sendak's story doesn't explain Max much, or the wild things either. In book form, it's 30-some-odd pages and 10 sentences. So the filmmakers expand, first giving Max a backstory that makes him a realistically kid-like kid, and then building a fantasy landscape that's just as persuasive. Real-world igloos transformed into giant curved forts, cross-hatched with twigs so they look like Sendak drawings, while snowballs become giant dirt clods.
I have an idea! Come out!
No!
Why not?
Because you're gonna hit us in the head with dirt!
Come out!
No!
Why not?
Because when I said you're gonna hit us in the head with dirt, you didn't say anything! That means you're planning to hit us in the head with dirt!
Man, you really have us figured out.
Though I'm guessing the filmmakers have Max and his buddies figured out, too, they let the audience do the interpretive work. Director Spike Jones and screenwriter Dave Eggers have taken enough liberties with Where the Wild Things Are that they'll no doubt infuriate Sendak literalists, but they've enhanced the tale in ways that aren't just true to its spirit, but actually make it richer, allowing Max to explore not just a forest, but a whole landscape of things that worry him. Like when his teacher said in class that the sun would someday use up all its fuel and go out.
Did you know the sun was gonna die?
What?
What are new friends for, if not to discuss stuff like that?
I never heard that. Oh, come on. That can't happen. I mean, you're the king. Look at me. I'm big. How could guys like us worry about a tiny little thing like the sun? Huh?
I won't be the only one who sees James Gandolfini's snaggle-toothed monster as a sort of uncowardly lion. The postmodern Oz he inhabits, actually Australian forests and dunes populated by Jim Henson's Creature Shop, is a world that's beautiful and visionary and a little scary at times, rather than comfortingly dumbed down and jokey like most kids' movies. Jones has created the sort of Oz that existentialist Samuel Beckett might have pictured, if he'd had a really playful childhood, turning Where the Wild Things Are into a work of cinematic art, lovely and smart enough that you don't have to be a child to appreciate it. I'm Bob Mondello.